Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I welcome you all to this week's daily devotional. This is your brother Stephen Abito from Ghana, West Africa. I use this opportunity to appreciate all what you are doing on this platform. I also thank brother Andrew Fury, actually, for giving me this opportunity. I appreciate every work that all the previous like ministers have done on this platform. I have been following, and I pray that may God bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ. Shall we take our Bibles and go to Philippians chapter 3 verse 10? Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, and I read, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto death. In the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for this, the reading of your word. Lord, may we be blessed even as we read it. According to your word, in the name of Jesus Christ, may your blessing abound. Grant us, Lord, grace. Expand it, Lord, Father, to us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I want to add Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to the reading of this word. He said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto death. Being made conformable unto death. Brother, sister, one thing that we have to know is that to know him is life. To know Jesus Christ is life. It's life to the one who knew him. Hallelujah. Sometimes we used to say that I know Christ, I know God, I know God. But one thing that we have to also know, or one question that really bothers, that we have to know, is that if one says that you know him, does Christ also know you? Does Christ also know you? Because we read from the Bible that when you read in Matthew, the Bible says that that day many shall come unto me, that, Lord, have we not done this in your name? Have I not done this wonderful work in your name? Have I not performed this miracle in your name? And I will say unto them that I never knew you. I never knew you. So you see that in this situation, the people think that they know him. But as to whether Christ know you, Christ know you here doesn't mean that he doesn't know your name. He knows your name, all right. But as to whether you have that relationship with him, that will make him, whenever he comes, you say, yes, you are part of my sheepfold. So that kind of intimacy. Hallelujah. So may God help us, because there is a power that every believer who comes to know God have to experience. Hallelujah. Because the power is the word of God. And that power is able to transform. That power is able to renew. That power is able to even redeem us from this body. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. And that power, when you come to know him, that will really make us see the word of God in a different dimension. There is a power that I can really testify of, and that is the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is in his word. That when you come into contact actually with him, you will know that we don't actually follow fables or stories of tales, but we've come to meet the reality of God. Hallelujah. And for that matter, it demands a kind of attitude towards it. Amen and amen. The Bible says that for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Hallelujah. So God's word is really powerful. God's word is able to divide the soul asunder, and God's word is able. The Bible says that it is a designer of thought and the intent of the heart. When you need comfort, seek God's word. When you need an answer to a problem, seek God's word. When you need a redress, seek God's word. When you need a solution to a problem, seek God's word. When you find yourself in a circumstance that you think that there is no helper anywhere, seek God's word. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Let's look at Judges chapter 13, verse 2 to 3. Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13, verse 2 to 3. And I read, "And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danite, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bare not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Lord, we thank you. This is the word of God. Now, there is something about the story of Samson that I want to draw across in this sharing. When we actually study this story, when we follow it carefully, this story gives a presentation that we can learn from. When we read the scriptures, we saw that before actually Samson was born, when the angel of the Lord appeared, the angel of the Lord appeared to the mother, who was called Manoah. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord brought a message to this woman, and that was a spoken word. Hallelujah. And this woman was barren. No matter how barren we are, even in the word of God, when the unadulterated word of God have an impact in the life, it is able to transform us. It is able to renew us. It is able, because the Bible says that for nothing was done or was created without the word of God. So everything was done by the word. So the word is where the answer actually lives. Hallelujah. When this angel met this woman, hallelujah, and a woman here types the church, hallelujah. So the word of God came to the church, hallelujah. And when God's word comes to you, one thing that we have to take actually notice of is to obey, hallelujah, what has been given unto us. Now, in the beginning, a word was given to the church, hallelujah. When the angel of the Lord met the mother of Samson, the angel of the Lord gave a command. The angel of the Lord gave the woman a command. And according to the command, you see that everything that Samson will come to do on this earth, this command must be taken very seriously. He must not go left or right of this. He just have to follow it. And that would have been much benefit to him. Now, when we study the scriptures, we saw that when Samson was born, actually this command was actually given to him. And the command was that no razor shall come on his head, for the child will be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So likewise, when we study the church, when Jesus Christ came, who is the living word of God, the word of God made manifested unto us. So you see that wherever the word of God is, the spirit must be there. Amen. Because the word and the spirit and the life is one. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So when we study the scriptures, we saw that the strength that was on Samson when he grew from childhood, that strength that was on Samson, the hair actually wasn't the strength. The source of that power on him was actually God. The source of that power was God. But that God was his strength. Amen. Now, that strength wasn't in the head. That strength wasn't in the locks. But that strength lays in him, not using the razor on the head. Hallelujah. So the moment Samson used razor on that hair, then he has lost the power that was placed on him. Amen. And that is what we have to take actually notice. When God actually started the church, on the day of Pentecost, when Jesus Christ, before he lived, he said he will not leave them comfortless, but he will send down the word, the Holy Ghost. He will send down that Holy Ghost. And when they received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, we saw the doing of God in his church. We saw the fruit of the word. We saw that God was in might and in power. They experienced it from the day of Pentecost. They experienced it in their works. The Bible says that they continue daily breaking the bread wherever they go, because the source of the power was God. Was God, and the strength was in his word. They experienced the power of the word of God. William Branham says, made a statement. He said, a church who has the unadulterated word of God, when that church receives that word, you see that Mark 16 takes place. That church will bring forth that fruit. Now, when we actually study the word of God, we saw that in the beginning, among the early apostles, the faith of our fathers, you saw that God was mightily working through this ministry. They experienced the hand of the Lord in their life. Even up to a time, Peter will have to say, silver and gold I do not have, but as much as I have. We saw that God's working was really in power and might. They really saw the hand of God in their life. So you see that the might that God placed on them. So the church actually started with a seed. The Lord sowed some seed, and in that seed, the seed was to remain till he comes to see it in that manner. So you see that the Alpha Church and the Omega Church must be one. So that church, the original church that actually started, served as a foundation for any other thing that must come. So it has actually become a standard. So you see that the book of Acts has become like a yardstick for the church of God. And that's why the Bible let us know that we are built upon the foundation of what? apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So that has become a standard. So when we actually study Samson in the beginning had the power and might. God mightily wrought his work through him. Samson could kill a lion, fight with a lion, break actually the mouth of the lion. A number of people in thousands surrounded Samson, but Samson was able to defeat all these people. So the church was in that manner. The church was a church in the power and might of God. God really used his word to wrought mighty works in these people. So you see that the foundation of the church is what everyone who comes to build must look unto. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So the source of the anointing that was on Samson actually wasn't the hair, wasn't the locks, but it was in he not using razor on that hair. The moment Samson used a razor, it defeats what he is. So when we study, we saw that the moment the church crop up that revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus one time told the disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" And we saw that by a spiritual revelation, Peter was able to identify who he was. And Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." So the church of God is built upon the revelation of whom Jesus Christ is. So that revelation must remain unadulterated. That revelation must remain untouched. Untouched here means that you can't put anything to it. It is unleavened bread. You can't take away from it. So the moment you leaven that bread, its authenticity loses. The moment you add something to the word, or you actually substitute it with creed or dogmas, the strength, that source, loses its strength. Hallelujah. And that is the word of God. Hallelujah. When we read in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19, the Bible says that we should add not, nor take away from the word of God. And this was a clear warning to the church, as how we saw in the life of Samson. God gave a command to the church, to the mother, that this is what must be done. No razor should be used on the hair of this child. Hallelujah. So it was a command. So the command that the church can get hold of to is the word of God, because that is where our love lays. The word actually becomes our everything. The word actually becomes what we eat. The word actually becomes what we wear, because that is our life, and we lay hold on that life. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. So the moment we adulterate it, we touch it with a different interpretation, it breaks everything. And the church loses that power. May God help us. May God keep the light of truth of the unadulterated word of God. And that should be our focus, so that as we lay and eat it, we become it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord willing, I will continue tomorrow in the next. Thank you very much. And may God bless you. May he lead us in all our endeavors. Amen.